Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Vox Royalty, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VOX and on the OTCQX under the symbol VOXCF. Chad and I are chatting with the Executive Vice President, Spencer Cole. Now, Spencer, we're going to first follow up on a news release that came out just today, October 5th. It's an update on the Janet Ivy Gold Mine royalty. Now, one thing to note is that Zijin is the operator at this mine, and the important update here is an expansion program. It's the Bindouli North Heap Leach expansion. Now, the company holds, Vox Royalty holds a 50 cent Australian per ton production royalty on a large portion of this expansion here. This royalty was bought just back in March of this year, and now the estimates are it could be cash flowing by, let's say, mid next year. Spencer, take us through this update and what it means for the company moving forward and generating some more cash flow in the near term, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. And a pleasure to be with you and Chad here today. So this Janet Ivy royalty, we acquired this royalty back in March of this year for about $5 million Aussie. And I guess the main sort of the main catalyst or the main reason why we were looking to invest in this royalty was we saw we saw that there was going to be a major expansion moving ahead for this gold mine, and the operator, which the parent company is the $50 billion Zijin Mining Group. And they'd committed to a $460 million expansion at Janet Ivy. And so, you know, we took the position back in March when we acquired this royalty that, you know, we were buying the royalty for great value at that point because the royalty was already producing. But as Bindouli and the expansion moved ahead, we could see the value of that royalty was highly likely to be re-rated. And then sure enough, within 3 months of us acquiring that royalty, construction commenced on the expansion, and now we eagerly anticipate that expansion being completed next year. And then from there, our investors will get the benefit of 50 cents per ton on what will be about a 5 million ton operation. So round numbers, investors should expect about $2.5 million per year of royalty revenue from this royalty for us. So not a bad rate of return when you consider we only invested about $5 million in this royalty.
Yeah, that'd be a great return on investment, Spencer. Why don't you walk us through, you know, when you're looking at these royalty packages and when there's so many out there to digest and to look through, what are some of the processes your team goes through to find these? Because this was a pretty good acquisition for you. If it's starting in March of 2022 next year, this heap leach, this expansion, how do you stay on the inside track in the business and maybe peek behind the hood at how does your team go about evaluating royalties to find these high growth potentials that other people seem to be overlooking?
Yeah, absolutely. So our process for identifying new royalty opportunities takes a few different forms. Firstly, you know, we use our global proprietary royalty database of over 8,000 royalties to identify royalties on interesting projects. Then we sort of supplement that with intelligence on the ground. You know, particularly in this case, we've got one of our key executives, Rian. He's based in Western Australia for us. So Rian got intelligence that this Bindouli expansion was gaining more and more traction. And then, you know, we were able to contact the owner of this royalty and come to terms with them very rapidly. They were they're an ASX junior explorer. And so for them, this royalty was non-core and they wanted to take money off the table and reinvest in some of their exploration projects. So, you know, we think we were quite fortunate in potentially having some better intelligence than the actual owner of the royalty in this case. So, you know, we could see quite a bit of value in the Bindouli expansion when perhaps the seller wasn't willing to wait around to see whether the expansion went ahead. I guess in summary, it's a combination of using our database, using sort of boots on the ground intel, and then, you know, leveraging our technical management team. So, you know, we'll do mining engineering and geology due diligence to make sure that these projects actually do have a fighting chance of going ahead and they're not just going to be sleepy sleepy projects that never get committed to.
I was also curious, while you guys are focused really anywhere there's a good value and in many countries, you do have a particular focus or like weighting towards Australia. Do you find that the development and production stories move a little bit quicker and more smoothly in Australia compared to other jurisdictions? It just seems like many of the companies to me are able to move from explorer to developer and to producer in a much faster trend than what we see in other jurisdictions. So I wondered if that played into the royalty approach in Australia.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're really targeting is risk-adjusted returns on our capital. And so when we think about the returns on any of our royalty investments, you know, trying to minimize the development and financing risk is a key part of that equation. So that's one of the reasons why we've got so many royalties in Western Australia. If you look at the timeline from first discovery through to commencement of production, I'd say particularly for a lot of open pit gold operations, Western Australia has the shortest development timeline probably in the entire world, faster even than Nevada, which, you know, most listeners know is a pretty pro-business state. So, you know, Western Australia's got the benefit of incredible, fertile, like greenstone-hosted geology, so that just a lot of gold in the ground there. You know, the government is extremely pro-mining, and from a financing perspective, you know, you've had the gold price, particularly in Australian dollar terms, at near record levels for the better part of the last 4 years. So a lot of the ASX listed operators that operate our royalty properties, you know, they've had plentiful access to capital for the last few years and have been drilling and developing at sort of record pace on our royalty properties. So yeah, we are frankly in love with Western Australia as a mining jurisdiction.
Now, one more quick comment on this royalty and the total resources that look to be mined through this Bindouli North expansion. In the more tail end of the news release, it outlines 41 million tons that are projected to encompass a 9-year mine life. It says the project covers these royalty-linked deposits that are approximately 85% royalty-linked. Can you explain this a little bit further in terms of these different deposits and where the royalty fits in within these, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So this Bindouli North project, it's made up of four separate open pits. And as you touched on, our royalty covers about, you know, 85% of the total tons that are expected to be mined from this project. So the main and largest open pit is the Janet Ivy pit, which our royalty covers 100% of. But simplistically, I guess for listeners, over the next 9 years, there'll be about 41 million tons mined from these four pits. And then our 50 cent per ton royalty will apply to about 85% of all those tons. So in round numbers, we bought this royalty for about $5 million and we expect to get about $20 million in revenue over the next 9 years. But we also understand from discussions that we've had recently with the operator Norton Goldfields that they are doing further drilling on these royalty areas. So, you know, we would expect that over the course of the mine plan, there's potentially some upside on these estimates.
Can you give us some more insight on some of the exploration that they're doing or some of the exploration upside that even you guys see?
Yeah, absolutely. So these four deposits are quite shallow open pit deposits. So there is some infill drilling going on with some extensional targets at depth. So, you know, the depths of these four pits is only sort of circa 200 meters, 200 to 250 meters deep. So, you know, we would expect that there's potentially some extra ounces below those current 200 meter pit shells. So I think that's probably, you know, where we see the greatest upside in terms of this royalty specifically. So, you know, that I think that's certainly the cherry on the top. You know, when you think how attractive our upfront investment was, we certainly don't need any exploration upside, you know, for this to be a great returning investment, but it's always nice to have that optionality.
Well, Spencer, speaking of optionality and exploration upside in West Africa, you guys had just put out a press release last week on September 28th, and it was an operational partner update on some of the different projects you hold royalties on at Vox. One of them that caught my attention was the Bulong royalty linked deposit, which is operated by Black Cat. Why don't you bring us up to speed on what they're doing as far as some of their exploration work?
Yeah, absolutely. So for listeners' benefit, our royalty is called the Bulong, B-U-L-O-N-G royalty. It's a feasibility stage gold asset in Western Australia. This also very close to the town of Kalgoorlie. This asset's about 25 kilometres east of Kalgoorlie. And the operator, Black Cat, is in the early stages of construction on this asset. So they've been doing some further drilling across this their land package there. This year alone, they're actually on track to drill about 100,000 meters across this project. So they've got quite a few drills spinning on this project. And I guess pleasingly for our royalty, they've just released some RC drilling results from their Myree deposit, which will be the initial pit that's mined from next year onwards. And some of the grades they've been drilling are sort of, call it 8 grams per ton to 11 grams per ton. So, you know, significantly high grades, which I guess gives us even more confidence that, you know, these pits are likely to commence production next year.
What's the general production timeline for this project?
So they're targeting commencement of mining in about Q3 2022. So they've already purchased the mill. They're refurbishing it at the moment. So they're well into sort of early construction works. And you know, we should get some more news flow out of their next quarterly. But yeah, we broadly expect it to be sort of late next year that we'll start to see production.
Okay, so that could be another catalyst for the company next year. Let's also talk about the South Railroad project. This is a pre-feasibility stage project. Gold Standard Ventures recently announced some news back in, let's say, mid-September on some drill results here. Take us through the developments we're seeing at the South Railroad project, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So listeners are probably well aware of this project. I know you guys have been following Gold Standard Ventures for some time. We shared with investors that Gold Standard Ventures have been doing some further exploration drilling at their Dark Star deposit. Now, Dark Star is one of the two key deposits that form the South Railroad project. And I guess pleasingly, from our perspective, you know, there's been some fantastic step-out drill hits at Dark Star, suggesting there could be, you know, some further ounces that are included for Dark Star in the feasibility study. So Gold Standard Ventures are targeting completion of the feasibility study later this year. And so, you know, for our royalty covers about 35% of the total resource base at South Railroad. And I think what we're really excited about in terms of this royalty is, you know, a lot of the incremental drilling at Dark Star and also the other deposit, the Pinion deposit. There's a lot of successful drilling results that have been released recently that suggest there could be even more royalty-linked ounces in the feasibility study when it's released later this year. So this project is really well supported. Orion Mine Finance, the big mining private equity group, previously had a $200 million term sheet with Gold Standard Ventures. So once the feasibility study is released, we see a fairly clear path for this project to be developed in Nevada. So pretty excited about all the news that's coming out of Nevada on this asset.
Yeah, Spencer. And would you mind maybe digging in just a little bit more on the topic of which ounces would be royalty linked in that project as far as when they go into development? Let's just say that they took it into development or a larger partner comes in to take it into development. How does that tie into the sequence of mining with what they've discovered so far with the assets you have the royalties on? And how soon would you expect production to commence if they did start at a construction decision in the next year or so?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So our royalty is it's quite similar actually to another royalty on South Railroad that Ely Gold acquired late last year. So we acquired this royalty from a family of ranchers back in the middle of this year. And it's sort of a checkerboard of mining claims. But broadly speaking, it covers sort of the southern end of both the Pinion and Dark Star deposits. I guess in terms of how the ore bodies are mined, both of those two deposits are mined sort of north to south based on what the mine plan in the pre-feasibility study. Our royalty revenue it'll probably kick in towards sort of year two or year three of the mine plan. But then as they progress into that mine plan, the further south they mine, the higher the royalty rate is, or the higher the ounces are that are proportionally royalty linked. So I think most importantly for us, when we look at the Pinion project or deposit, Gold Standard Ventures are targeting an extra 300,000 ounces of royalty-linked gold, linked to what they're calling Pinion Phase 4, which is really just a southern extension of the Pinion deposit. Assuming these extra 300,000 ounces do come into the mine plan in the feasibility study, they will all be 100% royalty-linked. So we'll go from 35% of the entire project being royalty-linked to a higher weighted average percentage.
All right, so before we wrap this up here, Spencer, I just want you to make a broad comment on the market and also tie it to some of the catalysts that Vox has coming down the road. Because look, I think everybody who's invested in precious metals stocks, whether it's from big companies, the royalty companies, or even down to the explorers, we've seen a tough market, right? Stocks have been under pressure, but the Vox share price has actually done quite well, especially since June when it bottomed at about 220 and has risen up to over $3 now. What do you think investors should be focused on when, again, it's been tough times for investors in the space, but the stock here, Vox, has done fairly well?
Yeah, no, it's certainly choppy market conditions, and there is quite a bit of red on the screens at the moment. I think reasons why investors should be excited about Vox is that one is just the sheer volume of organic growth that we have in our portfolio of 54 royalties. So, one criticism that some investors had when we went public May of last year was, Vox, interesting business model, but you only have one producing royalty asset. We now have five producing royalty assets, and then that's set to organically grow to 10 producing royalty assets by the end of 2023. So, an incremental five producing royalty assets plus some of our existing producing assets like Janet Ivy being expanded. So, we've got the benefit of, from a development and production perspective, each quarter, we're seeing new mines being brought online that we have royalties over. And then that obviously translates into quite substantial revenue growth. So, we doubled our revenue guidance for this year to 4 to 5 million. And then analysts have us doing between sort of $6 to $8 million. Next year and then beyond that. So, investors just get the benefit of all of that organic growth without any additional capital being invested because they're all on royalties that we already own. And then from an exploration perspective, we're seeing sort of record amounts of drilling on our royalty properties. So this year alone, we expect over 165,000 meters of drilling that's entirely funded by our partners. So, I think one thing that's quite clear is that if you look at companies like Franco-Nevada, who really started the royalty industry, in down cycles or up cycles, they've outperformed. And that's because, yes, you lose some of the top line gold price when the market's sort of contracting. But when you've got new royalty assets that are coming online and new assets that are starting to cash flow, that incremental leverage to new operations and new production, that often outweighs, any contraction. Even if the gold price goes down by 10 or 20%, if you've got an extra five royalty assets coming into production like we do, that's more than going to compensate for any top line gold price weakness. So I think that's what we're really starting to see, in the Vox stock at the moment. And I guess investors can look ahead and be confident that over the coming quarters, as new royalty assets start producing within our portfolio, and as that translates to record revenues, investors will get the benefit of that.
All right, Spencer, I appreciate the update. We will post a link to the Vox Royalty website in the news section so everyone can read over the news that came out today and those exploration updates from September 28th. There were a few more that we did not touch on here, so be sure to read over those. And if you have any follow-up questions for Spencer, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. Spencer, appreciate the update. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Corey. Thanks, Chad. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.